For everyone else, we're at page 65 in the new service manual. The top of that page says AAWS Corporate Board. Then it says AAWS has 9 directors in total. So who are those directors? 2 general service trustees, 2 regional trustees, 3 non-trustee directors, the staff coordinator at GSO, and the general manager. Those are kind of assumptions based on customary practice. The bylaws of AA World Services say that there must be at least 4 trustees on the AA World Services Board. Usually it's 2 general service trustees, 2 regional trustees. The general service trustees serve all 4 years as a general service trustee on the AAWS board. If they're the AAWS general service trustee, there's 2 of them. The regional trustees serve 2 years on the board. There's always 2 regional trustees under usual and customary practice on the board. But they, each one of them only serves for 2 years. If you are a regional trustee, your first year and your last year, you are a regional trustee on the general service board. Your middle 2 years, years 2 and year 3, you serve on one of the corporate boards, either AAWS or AA Grapevine, for 2 years. The non-trustee directors are called non-trustee directors because they're a director on the AA World Services Board, but they are not a trustee on the General Service Board. The staff coordinator and the general manager serve because that's a description inside their job description, a duty required. So the general manager also serves as the president of AA World Services. Unless you are privy to some legal documents that have to be filed every once in a while, we do not use the legal titles inside the spiritual side of AA. That's why you will always see the general manager title, not president of AA World Services. It says agenda items, which I wish they would clarify a little bit, because for most of us, we think agenda items, we think of the General Service Conference. They're talking about agenda items for the AAWS meeting. It says the board considers items such as budget preparation for the service and publishing operations, pricing of new and revised publications, GSO service activities, implementation of conference and General Service Board recommendations, reprint permissions, copyright concerns, and other legal considerations. So, for simplicity purposes, GSO or AA World Services, GSO is not an entity. It's a place. It's where the AAWS employees work. AAWS can be split into 2 parts, publishing and services. Those are the 2 main responsibilities of the AA World Services Board and corporation. Publishing our literature, both conference approved and service material, everything except for Grapevine literature. And then the services, all the desks, the archives, the records department, the finance department, the IT department. As the world gets more complicated, so does the departments at GSO. The AAWS board does its work in committee, much like the trustees did. We went through that. Here are the committees of the AAWS board. The Technology Communication Services Committee. They address digital content needs of all service assignments and seek to improve communication between the AAWS board and the fellowship, including innovative technologies. They oversee GSO's AA website, the meeting guide app, the YouTube channel, and Google for nonprofit projects. That all comes under what we call the TCS committee. The finance committee is responsible for salary and budget audit reviews and self-support initiatives. They annually recommend the selection of an independent auditor to the General Service Board. The publishing committee addresses pricing, reprints, translations, licensing, and other publishing concerns. They consider new formats and platforms for carrying the AA message. The nominating committee nominates new AAWS directors and general service trustees. All members of this committee have to be a trustee director. The internal audit committee, and you know, just so you know, this is new. This was only created in 2016. The trustees always had an audit committee. The trustees audit committee always dealt with financial. The AAWS audit committee more deals with process and procedure. On the audit committee, no paid employee is a voting member. All members of the audit committee are independent of AAWS management, paid management. They review all relevant documentation relating to functional areas of AA World Services. They recommend approval of audit processes. They set the parameters for audit changes. So what does that really mean? If they don't audit the finances, what do they really audit? Well, they audit things like our contract process for outside vendors, our selection process for outside vendors. Do we just go with the old nepotism? I know somebody who does it. Let's just hire them. Now, today, you'll see a pretty professional, what we call RFP model. RFP standing for request for proposal. And are we getting RFPs from multiple contenders and then deciding based on services, competency, and price, who is best? Then there's the actual contract with our outside vendors. Do we have a good process to review them? Do we make sure legal input, that we're not signing anything that could get us into trouble? They do that. Then we also have an authority matrix. That sounds kind of complicated, but it's really not. It's really meant to honor the righted decision of management, but also take into account the responsibility of the board. In other words, if something isn't in the budget, but it's below $10,000, let's just say, well, the general manager has the authority to move in that direction. But if it's above $10,000 or whatever the amount is now, the board needs to approve it. Things like that to make sure that we are operating per a group conscience process. And in today's complicated world, we need that. In the Atlanta International Convention, we got into a dispute with one of our vendors. And that's really what led to this committee being formed. We took a hard look at ourselves and said, wow, that contract should never have been signed in the condition it was. It should have been reviewed better. More people should have read it. It should have went to outside legal counsel because it involves certain information, sensitive private membership information, because people who sign up to go to the International Convention, they're an AA member who is giving us their full name. And so we have a duty to protect that information. So the audit committee is just following the footsteps of what many professional corporations do today. I think what I'll do there, because AAWS is such a minefield of service material versus conference material versus who approves what, is I would gladly take questions on AA World Services. I myself served on the AA World Services board for 8 years, 4 years as a non-trustee director and 4 years as a trustee and twice as the chair of the AA World Services Board. So I love AAWS. The amount of work done by its employees is just unbelievable. But I will gladly take questions for anything AAWS related now. And I'll give a second or two for any questions. What's the difference between a trustee and a non-trustee? What does the title of trustee mean? So we only have 21 trustees. And I know you got to put together information kind of from different parts of the service manual. The 21 trustees, they're the people who are the owners of three corporations, the General Service Board, Inc., AA World Services, Inc., and the Grapevine, Inc. On AAWS and the Grapevine, four trustees have to be on those boards, at least, per the bylaws. There are, however, non-trustee members of the board, and there are staff and management members of the board who aren't trustees. So a non-trustee director, my only role is to be a director on the AA World Services Board. I'm not a member of the General Service Board. I don't have a vote at the General Service Board. The staff employees have a vote, two of them, but they're not trustees either. So that's the difference. How is there a group conscience with the vendor process? So, you know, group conscience is the best way I could describe it, in that in large contracts, the board votes on awarding those contracts based on the selection criteria that was deemed what it would be based on. Now, sometimes a committee of the board may recommend one of the vendors, but it still requires a vote on the major ones. More routine ones, the office, if they're below a certain level, can award. Who makes the decisions about new or revised service material, AAWS or GSB? Okay, great question. It depends what kind of service material it is. If it came from a trustees committee, corrections, public information, treatment and accessibilities, cooperating with the professional community, archives, and so on, then that trustees committee would send it to the General Service Board, and the General Service Board would approve it. If, however, it came from the AAWS board, like if anyone here, I hate to use the term old enough because it bothers me now so much, but if anyone has been around long enough, you might remember what we used to call the yellow sheets. Does anyone remember that term, yellow sheets? And this was long before there was digital and we had guidelines. Guidelines on clubs, guidelines on conventions, guidelines on all kinds of things. AAWS board approves them. Now, I believe there's one or two service-related Grapevine pamphlets, and those are approved by the Grapevine board. So it just depends where it starts, who approves it. Let's see. There's a question here. Let me just see how I can handle this. Okay. Anyone who knows me, I'm not a big censorship person, but I'm also not a big person. And if a question starts out saying, wasn't there an $800,000 boondoggle? That's pretty much a statement. not a question. That's making a statement combined with a question. The question asked is, wasn't there an 800,000 boondoggle with installing a new IT system that didn't work? And the entire project had to be jettisoned and AAWS start again. What kind of fiscal oversight did AAWS provide? And why did the oversight fail to produce the intended results? So that happened after I left the board, but I'm very familiar with what led up to it. I think the word boondoggle might be a little out of context. I think I already was transparent and disclosed that 2015 and 16, the AAWS board decided that we needed an audit committee for process and contracts. One of the reasons we needed to get a new IT system was that we realized the process and contracts for the old IT system were not up to what we do in the professional world today. It's for anyone here who has served on an intergroup steering committee or anything like that, or an area committee, there are always strong arguments that we're not a business. You hear that all the time. That we should just be like unicorns and rainbows and everything should be good. But I mean this when I say it. A lot of people want to be trustees and directors. I'm not sure everybody wants to do the work of a trustee or a director. It is very different than being a delegate. And I've been a delegate. I'm just telling you, it is very different. It is not all about sunshine and unicorns and rainbows. You are a director on a nonprofit board that has fiduciary responsibility for a corporation with a budget that is north of $15 million annually, with a pension fund that is north of $25 million in assets, with a reserve fund that's north of $10 million, with 80 plus paid employees, where you have to honor all the state, federal, local, and city laws for employees. So there is a lot of work if you are a trustee or a director. And what I would point out is that many good people sometimes will suggest, you know, we should do it a different way. That's not how we should be doing it. And sometimes there's a loud voice from the other side that says, we're not a business. We shouldn't worry about those things. God will take care of it. And my experience is God does not take care of it. That's just my experience. My experience is God takes care of us, and we're supposed to take care of AA. And sometimes it's a very difficult position to be on one of those boards and say, what we're doing is not right. What we're doing is not what the fellowship deserves. They deserve better. So I know, because I've read the reports, that there were issues with the new IT system. But what I would tell you is the old IT system and company we were doing business with was so bad that we did have to very quickly pivot. And I think maybe that caused some of it. I don't know what caused the rest of it. I don't know if that 800,000 figure is accurate. But I know we needed to have a new IT system. I would not talk out of school, and I would respect the confidentiality I have about certain issues. But what I would tell you is that what led up to having to switch IT systems is that it was discovered in the old IT system that we never got an executed contract with the vendor many years before. And so the problem with that is years later, we're dependent on their software but we don't have a signed contract to enforce our rights as a customer. And that company started to take great advantage of us. I'm not speaking theory there, because the chair of AWS passed away in 2016. I became the chair again a second time, and I led the negotiations with that old contract, with that old contractor, the old vendor, and lawyers to separate and to fix that, which was very difficult. Very difficult because we didn't have a signed contract. Now, I was not there when they put that old software in place. I'm not throwing stones. Maybe it was a handshake. I don't know. We decided to really look into our contracting process. Apparently, there was some oversight issues with implementing the new system. I mean, let's face it. Something must have happened, because they somehow forgot to put group numbers in the software. And groups were giving we all know in AA, a group number is a pretty important number. And that had to be redealt with during the new implementation. So I don't want to take shots at the AWS board or anyone else. I would tell you that all these challenges come from a lack of respect for Concept 6. Concept 6 says we chose the corporate model for a reason. And if we're going to choose the corporate model, we should act like any good corporate citizen, which is to protect ourselves. I will also tell you that in 2016, we started the RFP process for a new outside auditing firm. Later in 2016, a new outside auditor was selected. So while it's easy in the years 17, 18, and 19 to say AAWS made a mistake with the new system, it would kind of be unfair to say, God, they were cleaning up sins from the past. There were contracts and things done by employees and other people that were not done in the most professional way. And I can tell you, because I was there to unwind some of that and fix it. So let's see. Can you please speak a little of the relationship between the technology communication services and Google for nonprofit projects? What are examples of these projects, and how is that relationship different from YouTube? So I don't want to go into a lot of the Google for nonprofits, because that's been conference agenda items. And there are things called nonprofit grants. As you know, you can buy words in Google for advertising and other purposes. And many of the people in the paid recovery world buy words and buy ads on Google and do things to make their name come up before ours. So the conference did approve that we could get Google grants. In other words, Google gives us, call it $5,000 or $10,000, whatever it is, a year, and we can use those grants to buy certain words or to have our listing appear larger. Now, people have various opinions on this as to whether that should be allowed or not. I'll stay away from that debate. But I will tell you this. We've been taking free airspace on radio and TV for many, many decades. And we, as a fellowship, have accepted that that is not a violation of seventh tradition. That if radio and TV stations, in their agreement with the FCC, when they have extra airtime, give it to certain nonprofit public service announcements, that we are okay to take it. So for me, I just look at Google grants as kind of like the modern day free airtime But I know the conference is looking at this, and again, I think this is something that we're going to be dealing with for a few years. YouTube is interesting. We have a YouTube channel. They deal with what we should put on YouTube and what we shouldn't. What's interesting to note, just passing on some history, is we act like we've only had a YouTube channel for a couple of years. We actually had one in 2009 and 10. And some trustees got so mad that they took it down because they thought it was the slippery slope of the internet. Would destroy Alcoholics Anonymous. So it's amazing how time changes the views inside Alcoholics Anonymous. On page 139 of AA, Bylaws of AAWS, it says all members shall contemporaneously serve as trustee of the General Service Board. So is a member of the corporation something different from the directors? Yes. I keep saying that over and over again. I know it's such a fine legal point. A member is a trustee. The 21 trustees are the members of the General Service Board, the members of AA World Services, and the members of AAW of the AA Grapevine Board. Those 21 members are, in fact, act as the owners of three separate corporations. A director is not always a member. I think we could write, whoever asked this question, I do like it for this reason. I remember reading these bylaws a long time ago. I have always felt we could do a better job where we could have member with a capital M and then member of the board of directors, so that people could see there are two distinct classes. When you say the members shall contemporaneously serve as trustee of the General Service Board, you're saying the trustee members, the owners. And we need four of them at the very least, part of the board bylaws on AAWS's board. So I do admit, I wish we could write that a little better in the bylaws for the average AA member who reads it and doesn't see this every day, because it's easy to think members is all the directors, but it's not. It's the directors who are currently trustees. Because the members elect the directors. The directors do not elect themselves as a director of AA World Services. They are elected by the 21 members of AAWS, who are the 21 trustees. I'll wait another second to see if any other AAWS questions come in. Give it a second. I don't see any more. We will move over to the Grapevine. On page 66. If by chance someone has an AAWS question, I will stop somewhere in the next 15, 10, 15 minutes. And if you have another question about AAWS, feel free to send it in. Currently, the AA Grapevine has nine directors in total, two general service trustees, two regional trustees, one class A trustee, three non-trustee directors, one publisher. So only one staff member of the Grapevine is on the Grapevine board, as opposed to two on AAWS. The Grapevine has a Class A trustee. Doesn't have to have a Class A trustee per their bylaws, but customarily for the last 20 years has. Again, their bylaws say they have to have at least four trustees as directors of the AA Grapevine. The executive editor of the publisher of the Grapevine is also the president of the Grapevine Corporation. Again, inside AA, much like the president of AAWS, you will not see that title. It is only used on legal documents and corporate documents. Inside AA, on the spiritual side of the house, we call that person the executive editor publisher. The Grapevine Board of Directors meets quarterly. It also holds four additional meetings a year as a planning committee. If I didn't mention on AAWS, AAWS has eight board meetings a year. Eight. The Grapevine agenda items, the board considers matters such as circulation, finance, publishing, operations for both Grapevine and Lavinia. Financial support. AA Grapevine Inc.'s goal is to be supported by revenue from the purchase of subscriptions and other content-related items. There might be, I think I see two or three people in here who will know long going back far enough to know what I'm going to say. While that first bullet point says AA's Grapevine's goal is to be supported by revenues from purchases of subscriptions and other related items, both in the 1990s and the early 2000s, the General Service Board asked the Grapevine to take a look at what they call here other content-related items, like books. Because at that time, I can use his last name because he was a Class A non-alcoholic treasurer. There were two Class A non-alcoholic treasurers who were very concerned about this other items. One was a man named Art Knight, who served in the 90s. The other was a man named Vince Keefe, who served in the early 2000s. At the Grapevine strategic plan of 2003 or 4, I forget which one it was, they said they should be very concerned if their operating income was 30% or more from other related items, that the majority of their income should come from subscriptions to the magazine, much like AA World Services and GSO. 20 to 30% of literature profit is in the acceptable range, but 70% has to come from contributions. The AA Grapevine, I'm just telling you, I'm not picking on the Grapevine. Josh, who's their chair, is a very good friend of mine. But the AA Grapevine has been way above on other related items for a long time now. It says, in contrast to GSO, where contributions are applied to support group services, AA Grapevine does not accept accept contributions from individuals or groups, nor does it accept revenue from ads or membership fees. Instead, it relies on AA groups, committees, and individual members who value Grapevine and Lavinia in their recovery and in their 12-step work to purchase subscription and other content-related items. Goes in to talk about how the board has encouraged people and groups to have bulk subscriptions. That's what the Grapevine board does. They watch over the Grapevine. They watch over Lavinia, but it's important to note that Lavinia is the result of an advisory action in 1995. If Lavinia falls short of getting enough subscriptions to pay for its cost, the General Service Board covers that cost as a service. If the Grapevine falls short, it comes out of the reserve fund. So there's a difference there. The Grapevine's expected to be self-supporting. If they fall short, it comes out of the reserve fund. Lavinia is provided as a service to the fellowship per an advisory action. The General Service Board makes up in that budget year the difference between the cost and the expense. Any questions about the grapevine? I will answer them to the best of my ability. And if I can't answer it, I would wait in a couple of weeks when we start having people on here. I will have somebody from the grapevine. What are other content related items? Well, all the books the Grapevine publishes, subscriptions to the digital archives, subscription to a digital subscription, a purchase of a digital book that the Grapevine publishes, like Language of the Heart. Those are the other content related items. Is the concern about having a large percentage of revenues coming from other content-related materials due to concerns over oversight? I think in fairness, yes, part to your question. It's in concern that the business model be sustainable. And if subscriptions keep covering less and less of the cost, do we keep having to come up with new things to sell to cover the cost of the magazine? So I think that really is the question. That some could easily say that the subscription price to the Grapevine is not self-supporting. Whether that's just a mathematical fact. Subscriptions are subsidized by the other profit made by other content-related items. Does Grapevine usually meet its expenses? How often does it need to take from the reserve? Over the last couple of years, it's been doing very well. I'm not going to say, do I worry about the sustainability of too much other content-related income? I might worry about that a little. But it's been doing very well financially, and it should be applauded for that. Back in the early 2000s, there were some very, very bad years. Very bad, in the hundreds of thousands. And in fairness to the Grapevine, when they have a good year, they give money back into the reserve fund. So, who approves literature that the Grapevine publishes aside from the magazine? That's a great question. The Grapevine is severely restricted in what literature they are able to produce. As we all know, and I'll say this carefully because, again, the individual, do I have any grapevines in my office? Let me just check. I do not have a grapevine in this office. The individual stories that are in the Grapevine are not conference approved. So let me just say that again clearly. The individual stories inside the magazine are not conference approved. The magazine is conference approved as the official magazine of Alcoholics Anonymous, or journal, whatever that advisory action says. The only books that the Grapevine publishes are reprints of stories that were either in past Grapevines or sent into the Grapevine. So when you go to the atheist and agnostic book, or the book there might be two about atheist and agnostics. There's one about amends. There's a best of Grapevine. There's a young people Grapevine book. There's an LGBTQ Grapevine book. They're all stories that were already in the Grapevine. Those books are not approved by the conference because those stories are not conference approved. What the conference does approve for the Grapevine, if you look at the Grapevine's conference agenda for the committee, is the conference usually approves the suggestions of what books should be published in the future by the Grapevine. That is discussed by the conference committee. Is there a threat of the Grapevine folding if it's only basing its income on content-related items? You know, I mean, that's a question for the fellowship, not for me. I mean, let's face it. On the day I got sober, there were over 130,000 subscribers, individual subscriptions to the Grapevine. Today, there are less than 60,000. So it's less than half the size of when I got sober. If we take those number of subscriptions and base it on what we think is the number of members, only between 4 and 7% of the fellowship are buying a Grapevine subscription in the last 20 years. But people think the Grapevine is important enough to keep going. So is it you know, risk of collapsing? I don't think so. I think it's up to the fellowship to decide, is this Grapevine still something we want? And in today's world of so much free content, you just think about it. You know, I'll tell a little story out of my past. I haven't been to a Barnes & Noble store in a while. I think the only bookstores I go to are like rare bookstores now, right? But I used to love to go to the bookstore. And I don't know about you, but I got sober in a big urban area. You ever go into the recovery or self-help section of a bookstore? You always run into somebody else from AA if you live in that neighborhood. It's like a given. It's a given. You always run into somebody from AA. But I think what we have to realize is in 1965, there weren't a lot of books. There wasn't even a self-help section. There wasn't a section on recovery in the bookstores. Every treatment facility didn't have a free alumni magazine. The world has changed. So this is up for the AA fellowship to decide as to what is the future of the Grapevine. Does the Grapevine have a separate publishing area than AAWS? Well, when you say publishing area, there are no printing presses at GSO. Outside vendors are used to print our literature at AAWS and to print the magazines. There's separate publishing departments for sure. Why are the subscriptions on the internet not included as the actual Grapevine subscription? That is a question to ask your delegate or to send in to the Grapevine board. I can't answer that question. They are looking at their financials. They know their customers. I can't answer that question. Grapevine, does that number include the number of online subscriptions, or is it just that those that subscribe to the mailing? My number is all inclusive. So, both. Any more questions about the Grapevine? Well, then I'm going to cover the last part of in the corporate boards, which is the top of page 67, which is non-trustee directors for AAWS and the Grapevine. Says per term of service, per AWS and AA Grapevine bylaws, a non-trustee director can serve up to 4 successive one-year terms. Remember, we already went through the section on the general service board. The only people who are eligible to become a general service trustee are past or present non-trustee directors on AAWS or the AA Grapevine. The selection process. Candidates with a broad range of experience are sought, and vacancies for AAWS and Grapevine non-trustee positions are announced to the fellowship through Box 459 and in a mailing to area delegates, past and present trustees and directors, GSO and Grapevine staff, intergroup central offices, and current appointed committee members. Working in concert with the trustees nominating committee, the nominating committees of the respective boards, meaning AWS and the Grapevine, review all the resumes received, evaluating the candidates by considering the following: business and professional background, length of sobriety, skills needed to administer the affairs of a corporation, availability for commitments, any specific current needs of the corporation, a service experience, the fact that non-trustee directors are the pool from which general service trustees are selected. All those factors are considered. Qualified candidates are interviewed by the corporate board's nominating committee. Each board recommends a nominee to its full board for the final interview. The name and resume of the eventual nominees are then forwarded to the trustees nominating approval committee for approval by the General Service Board and are placed on the corporate slate for each board that are presented to the General Service Conference. Now, one thing I want to stress here, you do not have to, unlike regional and at-large trustees, where for the last 50 years, every one of them has been a delegate, a past delegate. You do not have to be a past delegate to be a non-trustee director or a general service trustee. We have some great non-trustee directors and general service trustees that have never been delegates. Now, if you have been in a delegate, it shouldn't hurt you, but it shouldn't be an advantage either. AA service experience. It doesn't have to as been as a delegate. So just wanted to make that clarification. I will take questions. I have one. All right. This is back to the Grapevine. Grapevine Complete Subscription has online, archived, and printed copy. One may purchase the editions selectively also. Yep. Like I said, check with your delegate, go to the Grapevine website. You can do all of that. Any questions on non-trustee directors? I will give it a second. Not one question on non-trustee directors, huh? I'll just share this then about non-trustee directors. There's six of them usually, three on each corporate board. They not only serve on that corporate board and those committees, but even though they don't vote on the General Service Board, they are members of trustee committees. Each non-trustee director, besides serving on its corporate board, besides serving on a couple of committees on that corporate board, is assigned to two or three trustee committees as a full voting member. They don't have a vote on the General Service Board, but they are assigned to trustee committees and are full voting members. It is not an easy time commitment. It's 8 meetings a year. Those meetings are usually held on Thursdays or Fridays. So it means going to New York, means taking time off from work if you still work. It means the 3 General Service Board weekends a year besides those 8 AAWS meetings. And it also means the 1 week General Service Conference, because non-trustee directors are voting members of the General Service Conference. Regarding AWS, why are there so many bootleg versions of the Big Book available on Amazon? Well, It's a tragic story, but it goes back to the people who sometimes say we're sunshine and unicorns and rainbows, and we shouldn't be. I love Concept 6. It says we should be an effective business operation. And it says we can't reach our spiritual aim unless we are an effective business operation. We made some human errors a long, long time ago. We lost the copyright on certain material. In the 70s, we noticed that we lost the copyright on the first and second edition of the Big Book. The first and second edition of the Big Book, English version, anyone can print. We have no copyright on it. There are other pieces of literature we have lost the copyright on as well. In 2011, a special committee was established and a project was started at the General Service Office Publishing Department to have a concise listing of all our literature, the copyright expiration dates, all the licenses we give other foreign GSOs permission to print. But that's why there's those bootleg versions, because there's nothing to stop them. What exactly does the last bullet point mean about non-trustee directors? Hold on. Can that person just tell me if you're referring to the bullet point about the skills, which would be the fact that non-trustee directors are the pool from which general service trustees are selected? Or are you talking about the actual last bullet point? Each board recommends a nominee to fill its full board for final interview. So which one on page 69? I see that on page 67. Oh, the first. The fact that non-trustee directors are the pool from which general service trustees are selected. So why is that important? Well, when I was interviewed to be a non-trustee director on AIM World Services, they said, we have to ask you two questions. Number one, are you willing to do this for 4 years? And do you have the time to do it? But number two, once you finish your first year, you'll be eligible to be a general service trustee. So we could be asking you to serve up to 8 years today, which is what happened to me. My last year as a non-trustee director, I was selected as a general service trustee. So it's important to let the individual know that it might be longer than 4 years, but it's also important for the people who are interviewing, because of the type and caliber and quality of people we need. It's not just about being a non-trustee director. The only people eligible to become general service trustees are people that were non-trustee directors. So we should take great care and due diligence in doing our job to find the best, most qualified people. When do announcements for non-trustee directors come out in box 459? You usually see them in the one right after the conference. That's when you usually see it. And resumes, and sometimes the one right before the conference. And resumes are usually due sometime in June or July. That's what the current trend has been. If you think you're interested in being a non-trustee director, talk to your delegate. Make sure they know that when the announcement comes out, you would like them to pass it on to you. Same with appointed committee member. Let's see. Were you a non-trustee director? Part one. Yes. 2009 to 2013, AA World Services. Part two, did you ever apply for a service position that you weren't selected for? Yes. I was interviewed as a non-trustee director and did not get it first couple of times. I was taught in AA that if you're willing and you're available, you put your name forward or you make yourself available. God's in the decision-making business. So yes. Let's see. How many years total did you serve at AWS, AA Grapevine, et cetera, and what were the roles that you all filled? So I was a panel 49 delegate in 1999 and 2000. From 2004 to 2008, I was an appointed committee member on the Trustees Corrections Committee, an ACM. From 2009 to 13, I was a non-trustee director on AA World Services. And from 2013 to 17, I was a Class B General Service Trustee and also served as a director on the AA World Services Board. The only role I have ever had at the Grapevine is as one of the earlier questions mentioned. I was a member of the Grapevine. As a trustee, I'm one of the 21 members of the Grapevine, the 21 owners who get to elect the directors. Regarding FAQ number three, let me look at FAQ number three. What is the copyright status of the Big Book? Okay. If the copyright status of the first and second edition of the Big Book are in the public domain, why do you need permission to copy, post on the internet, or rewrite? Let me just read what it says here. The first and second edition of the Big Books are in the public domain in the United States only. The third and fourth editions remain copyright protected worldwide, including the United States. Given that the internet is a worldwide medium, permission must be requested from AWS for all internet postings of all editions of the Big Book Alcoholics Anonymous. What I would tell you is I am not going to argue the finer points of copyright law. Number one, I'm not an attorney, not an expert on copyright law. But as you can see, it's only the first and second editions of the Big Book Alcoholics Anonymous are in the public domain in the United States only. So there are other big books in English that other offices print. But that question is better geared towards you should write to the AWS board or GSO, attention, intellectual property coordinator. Intellectual property coordinator. Is box 459 available on AA.org? Not only is it available, but you can get the past ones. Like they have an archive of past box 459. It's pretty incredible. Next question. Somebody has a question from last week regarding anything in writing, stating we shouldn't use Bill and Bob's picture. Yes, contact your delegate or write the public information desk at GSO. I don't think that is, when I do it, my phone is a good question. I do not believe that email address is spelled out. Hold on. Public information GSO is publicinfo@aa.org. publicinfo@aa.org. I would send that question into them. You know, I love this next question because I'm so happy when people are not afraid to say, I don't know. One question, it says, how does one find out who a delegate is for a specific area? Does the area service office have a list of delegates available? You may have answered this, but I missed a couple of weeks and I couldn't get into the workshop. Awesome, awesome question. I would start out with finding out who your district or DCM is. And they should be able to point you to your area delegate. GSO does keep a list of all current area delegates, but unfortunately, it only goes out to all the other area delegates. We used to have things. I know I'm dating myself now. But we used to have these things called regional directories. I'm sure some people remembered them. You had Eastern United States, Western United States, Canada. It had a listing of every AA group listed in that part of the world. It showed you the name of the contact or GSR. It also had a listing of all the delegates. But your best way is to go to the DCM. If you're unable to find your DCM or your area delegate, please send me an email, send Dee an email, and we will get that information for you. And thank you for asking. Somebody has a question from last week regarding anonymity. We shouldn't use Bill and Bob's pictures. They mentioned deceased anonymity specifically. Yeah, we call that posthumous anonymity. And we have an advisory action and group conscience on it. And that means I have a family member who's in AA, my brother. My brother is in AA. If my brother dies, I don't know who his executor is, but his executor and the family get to decide if we want to write in his obituary that he was an AA member. It's up to us. It's our right. That's what the advisory action says. It's up to the family. But what the advisory action also says is AA never breaks anyone's anonymity, living or deceased. The family has a right to do it if they want. And I love that because, you know, I've read some great obituaries written by children who said, you know, something about AA because they wouldn't have had their mother or their dad or dad for that many years. And they honestly love AA and write it for that reason. Have I seen other obituaries that appear that someone may have written it before they died and is basically war and peace on everything that they've done for Alcoholics Anonymous? Yes, I've seen a few of them. And I think it goes in the collection of, there's two examples in any AA meeting or any AA service meeting, what you should do and what you shouldn't do. And you can learn from both. If you write the GSO because you don't know who your delegate is, won't they send your request to the delegate? I would hope so. That's what I would think. But I'm a big fan of encouraging people to find out who their local DCM is, and kind of getting connected there and letting the DCM. But yes, GSO could tell you who your delegate is. Okay, it is even after, 9:08. Next week, we are going to do the General Service Office, Chapter 10, AA World Services, Chapter 11. We might get to the AA Grapevine, Chapter 12. I don't know. I have a feeling because of some of the things that are talked about in AA World Services that it could cause a lot of questions based on my experience. So that's it, Dee. That's a wrap for tonight. Thank everybody. We will close in the usual fashion with the responsibility statement.